Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we had a fantastic time here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph as we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. Well, we continued our conversation regarding your spouse's family ruining your relationship. Yep. You know how it goes down. But this time, what we did was we talked about how to remedy that. Give you some little tips. Well, we talked about setting rules and boundaries. Well, how in the world would anybody know how much you mean business if you did not initially set the rules and boundaries? Even God gives us that. That's how we gauge what, you know, what we're doing is right or wrong. So set your family up, or your spouse and family up for success, okay? Well, more than anything else, you need to work as a team. They do not need to see you and your spouse, okay? Team. There is no I in team. Well, we also talked about being respectful and wise in, you know, how you communicate with your spouse's family. Yes, you want to always be seen as godly, although they make you mad. Yes, the Bible tells us to be angry, but sin not. Oh, come on, come on, come on. You know how it goes down. You can do it. You can definitely do it. So, you know, we try to give you a little hand with, you know, that family that might be completely out of control, especially if it's mother-in-law and father-in-law. Yes, 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 yes. Got to make sure they're under control at all times so that you don't have any outside interference, okay? All righty. Well, our first switch tip of the year with Shanti, number 86, get rid of those titles. Oh my goodness gracious. Everybody wants to be a somebody in this world. Well, think about it. You are somebody. Even if you don't have a title, you are somebody. Come on, say it with me. I am somebody. Absolutely. In the world of God, you are important in His eyes. So if you don't have a title to walk around with, it's okay. It's okay. Don't scramble around trying to find one for yourself. Seek God as to who you are, because you can never go wrong if you seek God first. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around, and we got to talking about some good stuff. The baby that was found in Alaska with, you know, this great note, this beautiful written note, you know. Well, the due time crew said, hey, she could have found another way to, you know, leave the baby instead of in 0-degree weather in a cardboard box. And we talked about the elder gentleman, yes, who beat down the man in the lumber store as well as hit the cop in the head with a hammer. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, wife says that he was depressed and he suffered from anxiety and PTSD from being in the military. Well, we got to talking. And, you know, 1 year is not enough to pay for what you did, as well as 10 years of probation. No. I'm sorry, that is not enough. No. So, you know, we got to talk in military talk with Pastor Ed. You know, he's a military expert here on Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we really got an opportunity to hear, you know, from that side of the fence. So we really got to talk about our Devon Franklin and Megan Good. Yes, Devon Franklin is clergy, minister, pastor, you know, counselor, and his wife, Megan Good, are now filing for divorce after 9 years of marriage. Well, they put a statement out there. Now, we don't know whether they wrote the statement or the publicist wrote the statement, but we started to dissect it because, no, some of this stuff that was said in the statement did not make godly sense. Oh, yes. Church folk. Yes. So we started getting down into the nitty-gritty, pulling it apart. Well, you know, you got to go back and listen, because next week, God spares, we're going to finish pulling this divorce statement apart. Yes. Yes. We got to see what God says about all of this stuff, okay? Make sure you see what God says about anything before you do it, okay? All right. Well, Wednesday. Wow, Wednesday was here, and Vivian started us off with our socially conscious segment, and we talked about the scam hawkers. Alrighty. And it's the handwritten letter detailing a look of someone's external and internal home that they send to the homeowners, detailing, you know, what they see as imperfections and charging $20, you know, if they want further advice as to how to pick up stuff or fix stuff in these people's homes. Well, I mean, come on now. Are you telling me that you got eyes not only on the outside but the inside of my home? Yes. Well, that's what has been in these people's minds who's received these letters. Yes, it's a crazy world out there. It's a crazy world out there, everybody. Well, we also talked about the woman who posted in TikTok about being so attached to her boyfriend that she watches his every move from the moment he punches in at that Amazon job to the time he punches out of that Amazon job, and how she's willing to quit her own job just to see about him. Yes, that's the kind of eye she wants to have on him every day. Well, the ladies got to talking. The women of worship got to talking. And we really, 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 really gave a little piece of advice to all of the women who feel so attached that they forget that Jesus is their friend and not man. Not to that degree. Yes. And we spoke to the male side that said, hey, this ain't healthy. You don't want to entangle yourself with an individual who feels like they cannot separate from you. And they have to watch you like a hawk. Yeah, she needs to be a part of the hawker scam, because that's exactly what she's doing, hawking him. Well, listen, we really went into a little moment of when we gave some toxic indicators. Yeah, those little things that people do in the beginning of the relationship that you kind of push to the side and you dismiss, but then later on start saying, oh, Lord, I wish I had paid attention to that. Yes, that possessive behavior, if they're starting to act possessive in very early in the relationship, you know, I think you're my husband. God told me you're my husband. And it's only been the second date. You better run. Forget about walking. Run, because it is not safe. And you want to have his baby. After the third date? No, something wrong. So, you know, we really have to utilize our God-given senses. You know, when the Spirit speaks to us and says, oh, something ain't right about that. Pay attention. You know, they have a saying, if people show you who they are, believe it. Because they ain't lying to you. Take it to spend with the Lord and definitely run for your life. Yes, run for your life. Well, we finished off our morning with the Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. And, we had a nice send out. Sent us into a wonderful hump day. Yes, and helped us to get on this side of the week. All righty now. Yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday. And oh my. We had to do Rip from the Headlines, because the news I was finding, these people are going buck wild. Well, we started off with the grandma who lost her life, you know, at the age of 82 after combating cancer. And, you know, she got vaccinated because she wanted to stay safe. And all I wanted was a card game. Well, she did do her due diligence. She did ask if, you know, all the other invitees had been vaccinated. And they all said, yes, absolutely. Well, somebody wasn't honest. And because they weren't honest, Grandma contracted COVID and lost her fight with life. Yes. Yes, come on, people. We got to be honest. You cannot live a life where you're endangering other people in any manner. Okay? All right. Well, we talked about this young lady who went from some, you know, I don't know what to do. I got to get, you know, my ingenuity in place. I could make me some money. Well, she bought 50 jars, empty jars with lids, and her flatulence went to work. Yes, somehow or another, she just loaded off in every one of those jars, sealed it up, and made a killing to the tune of $200,000. Now, where do you go to even find people who want to purchase bottled flatulence? Now, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, farts, y'all, farts. Yes, you can fart in the jars and selling them. Well, that was a short-lived career, as her diet included eggs and beans and protein shakes, anything that would give her gas so that she can continue to fill up the jars and make her clients happy. Well, her inside said, I don't think so. because as my mother always said, there's more room out than there is in. And she could not contain the amount of gas that her body was producing. She went to the doctor thinking she was having a heart attack. Nothing but gas. So, yeah, her body started telling her, you need to think of another career because I can't do this no more. So it put her get-rich-quick scheme to an end. So we cannot jeopardize our body. This is the temple of the Lord. We can't jeopardize our bodies to make a dollar. It don't work. And even this showed it doesn't work. So you got to go back and listen to yesterday's, you know, episode where these people have lost their ever-loving minds. This week, the first week of the calendar year, 2022, has been absolutely something else, y'all. Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, something else. And I am so glad to have spent it with you, okay? Today. What is today? Today is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever it is we would like to do. And let's hear from the men. Yes, today, Friday, the men have their say. Yes, and we've got some stuff to talk about, okay? We've got some stuff that we, you know, want to talk about and end our week, okay, nicely. So we're looking forward to hearing from our men and going into a wonderful, wonderful weekend. You know, God has really been blessing us as we have come through this first week of 2022 unscathed. And no matter, you know, how we've been feeling, we're here. And we're giving God thanks for everything that he has done. So we're going to take a moment to take a break. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that the Due Time with Pastor Steph is on and they don't want to miss it, as well as make sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
We know the cause for some birth defects, but for most, we don't. That's because we think most birth defects are caused by a complex mix of factors. There are some factors that can increase the chance of having a baby with a birth defect. These are called risk factors and include smoking, drinking alcohol, or taking certain street drugs during pregnancy, having certain medical conditions such as obesity or uncontrolled diabetes, taking certain medications such as some acne drugs, having someone in your family with a birth defect, being an older mother, typically over 34, and exposure to some chemicals and viruses during pregnancy. Having one or more of these factors doesn't necessarily mean your baby will have a birth defect. It is important to talk to your doctor about what you can do to improve your chances to have a healthy baby.
Good morning to you and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday, y'all. Yes, we have been ushered by the Lord to this side of the fence at the end of this week. And we're giving God thanks for the fact that he has brought us through safely, and hopefully, you know, a great weekend is on the horizon. Yes, it's been a fantastic week over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph, and I can't wait to get a little extra sleep tomorrow. You want to join me? Oh, come on, come on, come on. All right, get those pens up. Let's get this party started. Start off our morning with some kind of health tip. Well, how many of us have to drink honey with our tea? Well, we're going to talk about honey this morning. Yes, we are. Now, you know, this thick liquid, that sweet liquid that's made from honeybees. Yes, literally, honeybees come from those little winged insects called honey in Africa. It starts, you know, from Africa. And there are a lot of health benefits. Well, first of all, know that there are more than 300 types of honey. Yes. Now, we don't even know. That's not even something that we're even aware of, that there's more than one kind of honey. Well, I know I didn't know. I don't know what you know, but I did not know that, you know, it's just honey central for the bees. So who knows, you know, what all the things that honey can do. If you've got 300 types of honey, then I'm sure honey can do a whole lot of stuff. Okay? Well, the first thing they say honey does is it wards off certain diseases. Yes. They say if you want to bolster your body's natural defenses, they say get that honey. Mm-hmm. Yes. They say that it's potent with antioxidants. Yes, which is why people, you know, which you probably don't even realize. You just think, oh, you know, grandma always put a little honey in the tea. No, that's because the tea is boosting our body's defenses. That honey is really doing a lot of work. It has free radicals and other things that it neutralizes free radicals, rather, and other toxins in our body that damage our cells and tissues. Yep. Can you imagine? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? So listen, it also helps with cancer, certain cancers, and heart disease. Yep. So, you know, really, it has a lot of different components that help to build up our bodies in ways that we don't even realize. Okay? They say honey offers vitamin C. Now, we're always trying to get our vitamin C in us. Well, honey does that job. It improves white blood cells, the function of white blood cells, yes. Okay? And, you know, we always want to make sure that we get that vitamin C inside our bodies. Well, this is one way to get it done. This is one way it gets done. Ooh, check this one. Eases coughing. Yes, honey eases coughing. They say it's a natural cough remedy. Yep, they say the golden liquid has substances that soothes mucous membranes by coating the throat. And that will help to quell some of the coughing. Yep. So they say it's really good to give children with upper respiratory tract infections, like the flu, tonsillitis, sinus infections. They say honey. So when you get those cough suppressants, make sure you get them with honey. Yep. Because that'll help you build those natural cough defenses. Ooh, who would have thought? Promotes wound healing. Yes. They say using honey to heal wounds, burns, and other topical conditions go way back. Yes. So, you know, they don't want you to necessarily, you know, here's the funny part. As great as honey is, we can't overdo it. We can't overdo it because that really didn't work for me a month or so ago, you know, to have that honey. But when you want to promote wound healing, get that honey. You know, just put a nice little teaspoon inside of your tea and, you know, get to going, okay? So we don't want you to start putting honey on your wounds and things like that because you don't want to make, you know, necessarily overdo it or anything like that. But there are certain honey dressings that promote the healing of surgical cuts and other wounds. Yeah. Supports brain health. Excuse me. Now, we've been talking about brain, you know, function and things like that for a while. Well, they say that honey supports brain health, memory, and learning. Yes. Okay. So come on, you know. Again, if you just add a little bit, just a teaspoon to your tea, all of these things begin to become addressed. All righty? All right. Well, it supports gut health. Yes. Now, we always talk about this here, our gut health. Well, again, they say just a little bit of tea helps to take care of some of the digestion problems, rather, that you may have. Okay? All righty. So, again, they're warning that those of us who are diabetics, you know, we don't want to overdo it because, you know, now that pushes up your, you know, your blood glucose levels, and we don't need that. And if you have high blood pressure, you don't want to overdo the honey use. And if we have any cognitive problems, you don't want to overdo the honey. So, you know, just be safe when using. And also, you want to make sure you use pure honey. They have so many different, what do you call those things? Bottles of honey, but it's not natural. No, it's not pure honey. And that you don't want to get. Listen, honey is expensive, man. When you look at the price of honey, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to get well like that. But you do, because you just got finished hearing that honey can, you know, keep diseases down. It can ease your coughing, promote wound healing, and support brain health and your gut health. So you do want to, you know, just go ahead, invest in a nice sized bottle of honey and use a little bit every day. Just a little. All right. They are really, really talking about just a little. They are, because they, listen, I went to the doctor. My blood sugar level was 735, and all I had been doing was drinking tea and honey, excuse me, tea and honey, yeah. So, you know, it does beg for you to watch your intake, okay? And I wasn't using a lot, but if we're prone, you know, as diabetics to have high numbers, you don't want to do anything that's going to, you know, exacerbate any of that honey, that increased level of your sugar level, okay? All right. So don't say Pastor Steph didn't teach you something this morning. Honey. Well, let's talk about some news. and I got some news. Well, you know, we've talked about this on this Due Time with Pastor Steph before with the Due Time crew. And we talked about how, you know, years ago, people used to open up a Con Ed bill or a telephone bill in the kid's name because they done jacked up the bill in their name and they can't get no more bills in their name. Well, here's one for the book. The stepmom of a 7-year-old New Hampshire girl who they have, quote unquote, not seen since 2019 is being charged with welfare fraud and allegedly collecting food stamps in the child's name after they claim they haven't seen the little girl. They say between December 2019 and January of 21, she has been collecting food stamps, even though the child hasn't even been with them. Yes. Now, here's the deal. This is a really interesting story, because that's only part of the story. Now, somehow or another, they felt, well, not somehow or another, the little girl's great uncle called the authorities and sent them over to do a well check visit because nobody's seen the little girl since 2019. And at one point, someone had reported that the father, who the child is in the custody of, had hit the child and gave her a black eye. And because that's the way the uncle found her. When he saw her, she had, her name is Harmony, and she had a black eye. Now, he did admit to hitting her, but they didn't arrest him. Well, here's the problem now. The mother, who's the non-custodial parent, called the cops in November of 21. And complained that she hadn't seen her daughter in quite some time. Now, the last time she said she saw the daughter was on like a FaceTime with the father, the little girl and the father. But she hasn't seen or heard from them since then. Well, the weird part about it is no one's seen the little girl since 2019. So they're now trying to find the little girl. Now, the father and the stepmother is also claiming they haven't seen her since 2019. So this is really some convoluted issue because how is it that you, the custodial parent, haven't seen the little girl since 2019 and you never reported this? Yeah. So now they have some cash offering reward for any information or for the 7-year-old girl. Well, this is, you know, listen, I honestly believe that they didn't kill the little girl because ain't no way in the world you got custody of the little girl and you don't know where she is, and you don't put a missing persons report out or a missing child report. And they said the last time the little girl was officially seen was October of 2019 when they responded to, the cops responded to a call for service at that home. And that's what the father and the stepmother told him. Oh, they hadn't seen her. This here? Yeah. This is some foul play for real. There ain't no way in the world you just not going to see the little girl and you're not saying nothing. Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Well, here we go again with this gun in the car, where a Texas mother and her 18-month-old child was shot by a toddler who accidentally fired a gun outside of a Walmart. Now, somehow or another, the two-year-old got the gun from between the seat and the center console, and it accidentally went off. And it struck the mother and the little sibling. Okay? Now, the 26-year-old father was in the back of the car, I guess maybe in a trunk or something, because they say he's at the rear of the vehicle. And the bullet went through the soft tissue of the little 18-month-old's leg, but through the arm and into her side and chest area of the mother. Now, here's another thing that ain't making no sense. No charges. No charges. How do you not charge these people? Even if they legally had the gun, how do you not charge them with being negligent? What would have happened had the gun discharged the bullet went into the brain or the head of the little girl or the heart or the chest or somehow killed the little kid? No charges? What's the matter with these? I don't get it. I don't get it. Just because you were able to say that, you know, the little kid picked up the gun between in the seat and the console of the car, that's enough to charge you right there. That's enough to charge you right there with being negligent. Come on, people. Listen. Okay. Y'all been quiet for the past couple of days. Let me get to talk back to me. 347-285-7777. Okay, now. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. We need to do Rip from the Headlines every day. You have this Michigan mom who's being held on $100,000 bond. It needs to be $1,100,000. This 36-year-old mother, okay, let me get my story together. This 36-year-old mom, the neighbors called, and the cops went to the house on New Year's Day to find the mother and the one-year-old and the three-year-old in the bathroom. The one-year-old and the three-year-old had their throats slashed. Yes. They say both children had lacerations to their necks, and a knife was found in the bathtub. So someone had called the cops to do a welfare check on the mother and the two kids. And they had to break in because they heard the children crying. One of the children was crying, and they broke the door down. And thank God they got there. When they did, they rushed the children to the hospital. Now, the little girl has been released, but the little boy is still, as of this, you know, report, was still hospitalized. So she was arraigned on 2 counts of assault with intent to murder and 2 counts of first-degree child abuse and 1 count of resisting and obstructing. They need to just, what do you do with these parents? Again, you know, we're saying that there's some level of some kind of mental illness. And it really, I'm going to be honest, it really has to be a lot of these times. And I'm not giving an excuse because, you know, they need to fry. They really need to fry. When you have been found – to do these kind of things. The babies were 1 and 3. And she slit their throats. Well, thank God she didn't, you know, press too hard or press harder, because they would have easily been found dead in that house. Easily been found dead. They only have a 1 and 3 year old neck. How hard would you have to press? But you know what? She really needs to go for a psych exam. You know, $100,000 bond. She shouldn't even have bond. That shouldn't even be a discussion. Goodness gracious. Somebody talk back to me. 347-285-7777. You know, I know the men are going to talk to me regarding these things, but somebody just, what do you think needs to happen? She needs to be put away for 10 lives. 10 lives. Never see the face of day again. Because even if she's mentally ill, then that's what you need to serve the rest of your life. You still don't need to walk this earth freely. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. If mental illness disturbs you to the degree that you slit your children's throat, then you don't mean nothing to nobody, and nobody means anything to you, so you need to stay right behind the padded wall or in the jail forever and ever and ever and ever. Forever. Oh, my gosh. Woo! Okay, we got a couple more. Well, we have an Uber driver. He's an Egyptian immigrant, and he drives for Uber and Lyft. Well, he fell on hard times and could not keep his own car. So what he did was he rented a car with the intent of still doing Uber, and he does like Uber Eats and things like that. Well, he fell back on a couple of the payments, and there's a clause that says that, you know, of course, when they fall back on payments, they can repossess the car. Well, they did. They put a call out, I guess, against the license plate. And when the cops found the car, they stopped him, asked him to get out the car. But before he could really get out the car, they released the dog. And the dog mauled this man's hand and arm. And as they were, now check this out. And the dog is attacking the man on the outside of the car. The guns are drawn. And they finally get up to the man, get the dog off of the, get the dog off of the man. And his hand and arm is just messed up. And they said that they didn't even give him a chance to really even get out the car. And there's a small clause, his attorney says that if you don't make payments on your rental, that they can report the car stolen. So that's what they're thinking. Because, see, they don't know it's a rental car and you missed two payments. They don't know any details. All they know is a car was reported stolen, and that's how they're addressing the issue. So while the dog is mauling the man's hand and arm, he's screaming, "What I did, what I did, what I did." He doesn't understand that he's even been stopped for this particular reason, because they ain't never got a chance to even talk to him before they even stick the dog on the man. And he's yelling, "I never did nothing, I never did anything." Disgusting, disgusting. So now you don't shoot him. You don't shoot the people no more. Now you stick the dogs on them. Well, he had to have several surgeries after his hand was mangled, and he is going to, he's filing a lawsuit claiming severe physical and psychological injuries. And initially, now check this out, initially the cops charged him with resisting arrest, despite the fact that the cameras showed he never did resist. He never had a chance to resist because you stick the dog on him before he even had an opportunity to even get out the car. He got out the car. For some reason, when he got out the car, he had his shoes in his hand. And that's as far as he got to get ready. They showed the shoes. They said in the video, they show him he's not really out the car, but he, as he's getting out, he's got the shoes in his hand, and before he can really get out the car, the dog attacks him. And they subsequently had to drop the charges of resisting arrest because, again, nothing showed he actually resisted. Oh, good Lord. You should see the pictures of his arm, his hand. Remember now, several surgeries he had to go through, several surgeries, because the dog mauled him. It was a German Shepherd. And they're designed, you know, remember now, they're trained to do this kind of stuff. You talk about dogs that are trained. You know, we always talk about the pit bull, but the dogs are trained to do this. Well, I got this one last story. Now, Vivian is always talking to us about the foods that have been recalled. And the last one we got was last week, Dole. You know, don't buy the Dole salad or anything, you know, in the bag that came from Dole because it was infected. Well, here's a new level of infection. So a gentleman bought a box of salad from Whole Foods supermarket. And inside the salad was a little frog. Oh, God, I can't. Yes, a little frog was inside the box of Whole Foods salad. And here's the twist. Why is this your pet now? Yes, he then took it, put it on social media. People, should he destroy it? Most people voted that he keep the frog as a pet. He's decided to do that. He's got pictures of the frog. He said that when he was a little kid, in the hospital, that he had a little pet frog, and this reminds him of the pet frog that he had. And as a matter of fact, he went back to Whole Foods, bought another box of salad, hoping to find another frog. Now, it's one thing to buy the salad and find a frog, y'all, inside the box, baby frog. I don't know, you eat little frog legs and things like that out of City Island, but I'm sorry, you going back to hopefully find another frog because now you want to make a little pet thing out of this? Oh, my gosh. I can't, y'all. I can't. Where are my men? Well, I got to say good morning to my men. And we got to talk about this. Where you at, Brother Al? Where you at? Morning, Brother Al.
There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Jeremiah 29:11 said, for I know the plan I have for you. Let him do what he do. Oh, yeah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. We got some stuff to talk about. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So we got, remember we talked, I remember because you were on with us that morning about the mother, who about the people when they used to open up accounts for, you know, for the house in the kid's name. And now here we have the stepmom who opened up a food stamp account with the child on the case who hasn't even been in the house. They haven't seen this child, they say, since 2019, and nobody reported this child missing. Do you really think she's missing?
Sorry, Pastor, I'm back and forth. No, they killed that child. Because, you know, you're sitting there and you're collecting, and nobody's seen the child since 2019. Yeah, they done did something with that child. Instead, you're going to do that for the little bit of money that you collected. Yeah, they killed that child.
So not only are you going to go to jail when they finally find that you found that you didn't kill this little girl, but now they're going to add on welfare fraud as well, because you're getting, for a child that's not even in the house. You can't even say you paid.
Exactly. You're going to jail and you're going to have to pay that money back.
Man, oh man. Yeah, because, you know, unless they find, you know, that child dead and you serve some type of life sentence, you're not going to be walking the street. You're going to need some welfare and some food assistance, and you ain't going to get it because they ain't giving it to you now that your name then went on that list. But, you know, it's really sad. They're putting out a missing persons report and a reward for this baby. But to me, it's pointless. I don't think this child is alive either. They've done something to this baby, and you know, it's really sad. It's really, really sad. You know, but wait, Brother Al, come on, let's talk about this side of the fence. You went to the house. The authorities went to the house at one point and found the little girl with a black eye. What would have happened to us?
Oh, we'd have been Billy Club. Handcuffed, ACS would have been there before you could blink.
Absolutely.
Been reported and everything.
That's right. Really, you know, for them to even walk away from that. Now, had you acted then, the child would have been okay now. Your negligence walked us straight into not even being able to find the child now.
And the authorities gonna get in trouble for that too. The authorities gonna get in trouble for that too, because you're a mandated reporter. You're supposed to report that immediately.
Absolutely. So I really hope these people fly. I really, really do. Really do. All right, Brother Al, here we go again. Now, this time they're saying exactly where the gun was found, in the seat, in the center seat, where the console, and the 2-year-old gets a hold of the gun, it goes off, and it hits the 18-month-old sibling and the mother, but thank God no one dies. And they don't have any charges against these people.
Well, one thing I can say, I know what side of the fence they're on. If that was us, you know, I don't understand. Why do you have the gun out in the opening like that in the seat? Now, my question is, Absolutely. Was the mother inside the car as well?
No. Her and the 18-month-old were on the outside of the car. The 2-year-old was on the inside of the car.
Okay,
and
I got you.
And when the gun discharged, that's what happened.
But why was the 2-year-old in the car? Why are you and the 18-month out and the 2-year-old still in the car? We know what the terrible two. The kids coming in there digging, they messing with stuff. And okay, so now 2 people that get injured from this child, and I'm quite sure the gun scared the heck out of the child because it was a loud sound.
Absolutely.
Plus you're in an enclosed area. And I know the little kid dropped the gun because it hurt the little child's hand and the kid was crying and nobody goes to jail. Oh, no. Who's the owner of this gun? Why is it in the car? Somebody has to go to jail.
Yep.
I don't get
it. Here's the thing. Me either. And here's the other thing. Just like with the other case we talked about a week or so ago, these guns are heavy. How are these children even getting these guns? And they have to pull the trigger. The guns are not going off by themselves. I'm still believing, Brother Al, something else is to this story. The same way I saw the other story, I'm thinking something else is to this story, too. Because, you know, I've held a gun. You know, we went to the firing range and things like this. Those guns are heavy. How are these children doing this on their own?
That's crazy. And it depends on what type of gun it was, because you have some what they call hair trigger. You just tap it. It takes 5 pounds of pressure. So you can just tap the trigger and it'll go off. So it really depends on what type of gun they had as well.
Wow. Well, they don't say what kind of gun. They didn't say, I don't think, before the other story we did talked about the type of gun either. But, yeah. Yeah, the father supposedly was in the back of the car. And so he don't know nothing about what's about to go down either. So that's his alibi. He was in the back of the car. He was in the back of the car. All right, Brother Al, we're talking about the mom who was found in the bathroom. 1-year-old and the 3-year-old, and she had slit the 2 kids' throats. She's got a $100,000 bond, and she's in jail. Is bond okay? Should she get bond?
No bond. You slit 2 innocent children's neck, throat. You slit their throat. You got bond for what? So you can get out and commit some more kids' throat? No, she don't need no bond. She needs to sit in there until it's trial time, until they sentence her and take her and put her in under the jailhouse. And again, that kind of tells me what side of the fence she on. We ain't getting no bond.
Nope. We're not getting any bond, and neither should she. What are you giving her bond for? If she were to somehow miraculously get this money to get out, that means she'd be walking the streets. See, the streets? I don't think so, Brother Al. I don't think
me
so.
Me neither.
I don't think so. Something is wrong with this. Something is wrong with this picture here. No. All right, we got a couple more. We got the Uber driver. So they no longer are shooting us. They're now sicking the dogs on us. All they know is that this man had, he was the behind the wheel of a car that was reported stolen. And this is what he's faced with. They sick the dogs on him, and now he has to get several surgeries on his hand, and his arm is messed up because they sick the dog on him before he would even have a chance to get out the car.
Well, it ain't that they stopped shooting us because, again, he wasn't one of us. He was close to one of us, but he wasn't one of us. So they figured, no, we don't shoot them. Let's stick the dogs on them. You know, and the thing about it is those dogs are trained. Once you tell that dog to get them, that dog All our dogs see is blood and not letting go.
Yep.
And that's just so sad. You didn't even get a man a chance to say anything or ask what's going on. You ain't read him his rights, no nothing. You just saw him and said, oh, okay, he almost one of them. Put the dogs on him. You know, and he should sue them. They should be fired and all that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so we got this last story where the man buys the salad in the box from Whole Foods. Now, you know, they're all listed. They are A-listed as, you know, one of the best places to buy our fresh foods from, blah, blah, blah. And voila, there's a frog salad. You take the frog, you make the frog a pet, and you go back to Whole Foods. Like, you don't go to the pet store. You go back to Whole Foods. We find another frog salad. Oh, Brother Al, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?
This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need to get on Lord in there. Now, okay, and I can see it happening because the frog is green. The salad is green, and you know, that's what they live off. I can see it being a mistake, but that's your fault. You need to check this food thoroughly before you bag it. And then this food, go back and get another one. Now, I'm wondering, did the bag say salad comes with frog? And he go back and go get another one. Like, okay, let's get this frog. Let me go back. Like he was opening a Cracker Jack box with a prize.
Right,
you know, let me
right,
go back and
right.
See what other prizes in here.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Come on.
Expecting to find a frog. Like this is normal.
Right. Oh, he's playing the game. Let's see how many frogs I can find. You know, so his elevator don't go to the top floor either.
Absolutely. Because if you want a frog, you go to the pet store. Get the frog. You don't go back to the food store to find another frog. Yeah, I agree. You know, a couple of french fries short of a Happy Meal. Some ain't right, Brother Al. Some ain't right. Mm-mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to talk to our friend, Pastor KL. Hold on a second. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you, Brother Al? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Thank you. I'm doing okay. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you.
That's good. All right. We're starting with our story of the stepmom who files for food stamps, you know, including a child that they have not seen since before she applied for the food stamps. They claim they haven't seen this child since 2019, October 2019, and she's been getting food stamps from December 19 to January of 21. And they now have a reward out for the little girl. Is she alive, do you think?
No, I think she's gone and buried. She is gone and buried, and I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that this is what you'll do. So you haven't even grieved or, you know, you have no remorse, and you're still getting paid off a child that's not even here anymore. So she's a gift that kept on giving, you know.
Absolutely. You know, here you have the mother, the custodial mother, who had not seen the little girl for quite some time. And that's
right.
Another level of negligence because you haven't seen your child. Now, they were accustomed to speaking on, let's say, FaceTime. And she said the last time she saw the child talking to the child with the father was back in 2019 as well. Where you been, Pastor KL? Where you been?
Yeah, so exactly. So you're negligent as well. You have no concern. I mean, where is your maternal? You know, your maternal sense. You have no concern. You know, on a regular, you've been speaking, you've been Zooming, you've been FaceTiming, whatever, and then all of a sudden, 2 years gone by, and you don't question nobody? And if you question him and he gave you some upside-down answer, you never went farther, you know, to the authorities and say, hey, I haven't spoken to my child. Or, listen, let me go to court and get me some visitation rights and see where the child
is. So, and that was my thought, and I'm saying to myself, well, clearly, this is the reason why you don't have the child. Because if this child, you ain't been talking to this child all along, and you are right with it, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. I agree with you. You know, you were fine with not hearing from the kid. Something is wrong, Pastor Kale. Something wrong. All right. We're talking about gun shooting from a two-year-old. Now, let me ask you, Pastor Kale. Do you really believe that these children have found these guns in this car and the car discharged? Do you really believe this?
Well, I mean, it, like we've been saying, it's kind of hard because, you know, guns are heavy. You know, guns are heavy. You know, it just brings to mind how much cereal was you putting in that Similac that baby's that strong at 2 years old. they're able to shoot off these guns. You know, I mean, it's heavy for me. And I'm a big man. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what gun it is, it's taking my arm off. You know, if I don't brace myself. So the child is not bracing himself because the child doesn't know what it is.
Right.
You know, so I'm just concerned on how is the child dealing with, and then what's the aftermath of the child's hand or the child's arm? You know what I mean? Because if it's that strong, they're not feeling too good. Not only that, why, as Brother Al says, why is there a two-year-old in the car by him or herself? What is the logic or the thought behind that? So you behind the car, the other one's outside the car with another baby, so you just got too many babies, first of all. You can't concentrate on the one baby, but now you got two babies. And then you decide to have a nice toy in the car, you know, a nice shiny, you know, object, you know, that I just need to play with.
That was my thought. My thought is, okay, help me understand this. You both are out of the car. You know the baby's in the car. Neither one of you remember that the gun is in the car?
Right.
Neither one of y'all even think about this? In addition to
why is it locked? If you know it's in there, why is it then locked?
They claimed that it was in the middle of the seat where the console is. They never said it was inside of anything. They said
It was just out. Like a new Barbie and Ken doll. Wow.
Like a rattle. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I agree with you and Brother Al. Why are y'all outside and the baby's inside to begin with? But you left the baby inside and neither one of you remember that the gun was on the seat? What kind of mess is this? It's the same, huh?
I guess they read the Bible wrong when they thought it was the comforter. They thought that was the comforter for the baby.
I don't know. This is really keeping my head scratching. Me scratching my head.
Right.
That's why I keep saying I'm wondering if these stories are really accurate. Is this really what happened? Because you got the other one the other week where, you know, they left the thing in the car. They never said in the car, you know, where it was, and they let the 2-year-old play in the car or the little girl play in the car. And now you got the same issue of just happen to leave the gun in the car. Oh, don't know if I'm believing this story. I'm sorry. These things are just happening just too consistently for me to believe
right.
y'all are just that negligent, that y'all just put the gun in the car and everybody just walk off like ain't nothing. No, something wrong, Pastel. Something wrong. Okay.
But you know what? These stories and all these stories, you know, it gives light. If you didn't believe that we on the other side of the fence got treated differently, you have to now. You have to believe it. You know, I mean, it's so much evidence, so much proof that shows that we are not equal. We're not equal.
Not at all. Because we would never. Because remember now, just like I said earlier, no arrests were made.
Right.
No arrests were made. They didn't just say they found the gun. They said they found the gun. The gun got discharged. Nobody's going to jail for negligence.
Right.
Oh, that's and Brother Al said, oh no, that would have never been us.
Listen,
right.
it's almost
really
like you're driving and you're speeding, and after he looks at all your credentials, he come back to you and say, okay, just slow down next time. You know
right.
what I mean? So
yep.
you tell this
yep.
man, just put the gun away next time.
Right. Absolutely. Perfect analogy, Pastor Taylor. Perfect. All right. Here's my question. What do you do with this mom who's found in the bathroom with her two babies, 1 and 3, and she has slit their throats? Do you give her a $100,000 bond?
I just don't understand how you give a attempted murder a $100,000 bond. Because when you slit her throat, you watch her washing her hair. You know what I mean? You didn't make a mistake.
Right.
You know, this was personally. You know, you did this on purpose. You know, so now you're giving somebody a bond for I know. You know, I just made a mistake because I didn't get to kill him. You know, I didn't go deep enough. But my intent was to kill them, not to hurt them or make them cry. There were too many other things to do that you could have made them cry. You could have pinched the baby would have cried. And then crying would have frustrated you even more because whatever was stressing you, surely you don't want to hear the child cry. You want the crying to cease.
Absolutely.
So you tried to kill these
Absolutely.
Children.
Absolutely.
So you should stay in jail for the rest of your life. No bond. What are we bonding for? What do we need to talk about? Why is there even a jury? What do we need to contemplate? To me, it's a black and white case.
Well, unfortunately, this country says that you're innocent until proven guilty, and until either I agree. Listen, the charges are 2 counts of assault with intent to murder. So you already understand.
Right.
Just like you said, this is now mystery. You were wondering, and like you said, it was a mistake. You already know you're charging her with an intent to murder. 2 counts of first-degree child abuse. You know what the deal is. I agree. No, but they have to go through the due diligence of a trial, whether it's a trial by jury or a trial by judge. Unfortunately,
let's go with that presidency. If it was us, they wouldn't have given us an option to come up with no money or GoFundMe fund
nope.
to come bond me out.
Nope.
In their mind, I would have already been proven guilty in their mind.
Right.
Though I had to go through the steps. In their mind, it was already an open and closed shut case. I was guilty.
Absolutely. It, like you said a minute ago, you know, all of these things are indicative that there's no balance. There's no balance. Because just like I said earlier, if she were to come up with whatever that bond is, she would walk the street.
Right.
You give someone a bond, I don't care how high you set it, your intent is to put it high enough where the person, you know, they figure this particular mom has nobody and, you know, she won't make this bond. But by any level of sheer miracle, Pastor KL, if she should make this bond, you have just said she is free to walk the street. Because if somebody came with the bond, you can't take it back. You can't say no. Oh, I didn't think nobody was going to come up with it. So, no, she has to stay. You've still
not
given
only
her walking
that,
papers.
If, right. But not only that, if you gave her the opportunity to get the bond and she got the bond, once she came to herself and realized what she was facing, you wouldn't see her again. She gonna flee.
Maybe not. That's right. Or kill herself.
Right.
Punks do.
She's good with a knife.
Yeah. Right. She would kill. So then you're not getting any justice anyway. You're absolutely right. So yeah, this is something else. This is something else. Two more stories before we move on. You're talking about the mauling of the Uber cab driver by the canine, you know, dog. What do you think?
Well, for one person, you know, who trained dogs, I trained dogs. So, you know, the German Shepherds and the Pit Bulls are totally different. German Shepherds are trained to do that. Pit Bulls are just bred to do that. But I'm trying to figure out when does it become necessary to get dogs? You know, for even stealing a car. When does that become necessary?
Right.
You know, we wasn't looking for drugs. We wasn't looking for contraband and stuff like that. So when does the dogs come in? And then we don't say, you know, come up with your hands out or you have the right to do this or this is why we stopping you. We just sending dogs in as if the dogs are supposed to interpret why I'm stopping you.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. And again, knew what these, like the two of you have said, you knew what this dog was going to do. You knew.
Right.
Because that's what they're trained to do. So when you release the dog onto the man, you knew what this man was going to be, what he was going to get. You knew this.
Right.
You knew this.
Wow, I'm just sad.
It's a bit much. It's a bit much. They're shifting gear. So no, and like I said to Brother Al, they release the dogs that you know are going to maul this man until you stop it. And you had your guns drawn when you saw both his hands out the car ready.
Right.
Ah.
So just in case the dogs didn't get you, I had you.
Right.
I had my dogs back. I had the dogs back.
Right. I'll tell you, these police they are going buck wild, and this is what we're facing now. This is exactly what we're facing. All right, last story, Pastor KL, the man who went and bought the salad from Whole Foods found a tiny frog in his food, made it a pet, and then went back to Whole Goods. Bought another salad, hoping to find a frog in that as well. Does he need help or what?
Well, you got to understand, you know, some folks like chicken in a salad. Some folks like ham in a salad. You know, he had a little frog. You know, frog legs taste like chicken. You know, unfortunately, the frog was still alive. So he needed a partner. Now, I thought it was kind of crazy that you went back to the store. You know, if I'd have went back to the store, I'd have been at the store complaining that there was a frog in my salad. But you go back to the store complaining that you can't find another frog in the salad, as if it's part of the ingredients. How dare you not put another frog in my salad? Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
That's pretty crazy.
And again, as Brother Al said, you know what side of the fence this is on, because any of us would have been in there raising hell. And now you're going on a manhunt. Yes, to hopefully find, like you both said, like that was part of the, ingredients of the salad, and you're disappointed now. I don't know. This world is
on our side of the fence, we would have been happy that there was a frog in there because we
had
took off the leg.
Now we want money. That's right.
We'd have took off the leg, and we'd have said, I ate this frog by accident. You know what I'm saying? Now, I need somebody to pay me back. Yeah, we'd have took a leg off. We'd have brought the leg and the other part of the frog
to the store. And then you would have had to pay me for eating this frog. I'm allergic to frogs.
That's
it's
right.
against my religion to eat
That's
frogs.
Right.
We'd have had all kinds of excuses
right.
on why I can't have this frog.
Right.
Now, God is not pleased because I ate a frog. I'm going to hell. I need some money.
We would have had a picture of it on our phone. Showing
right,
it.
On Facebook.
If you don't give me money, I'm going to, that's right. I'm gonna send this to the news. I'm going to put this on Facebook. I'm going to put this all over social media. You better pay
the
me.
Better
oh,
business
absolutely.
Bureau.
Right, that's right. We've been going buck wild trying to get $5 for this frog salad
right.
in this salad. You're absolutely right. Man, I tell you, this world is getting crazier and crazier. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I looked up, you know, what we were supposed to be discussing last week. And we were supposed to be discussing overcoming obstacles, you know, and look at what we end up with. A whole slew of stories of how you overcome obstacles. Because you got to overcome this stuff one way or another. And, you know, I wanted us to talk to our listeners and give them a word of advice as to, you know, how we need to overcome obstacles. So, Brother Al, we're going to start with you. How do you overcome the obstacle of even getting started? You know, some people, they have tons and tons and tons of plans. They have a million things, you know. They've written it down. They've made it plain, and they cannot get started. What do you say to them? What's your advice to them? What do you feel about this, having trouble getting started?
Okay, I want to make sure I got this question right. You said on how we get started. I kind of got lost. Say the ending part again.
You know, there's we're talking about overcoming obstacles. And some people really they have a hard time just getting started. Even get started.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
That obstacle of just getting started.
Right. I think that you have to accept what's going on. Sometimes we have those obstacles coming our way, and people will, you know, sit back and be like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Well, you know what? It's happening. Now we got to figure out how to get past this obstacle. So, you know, I think, like I said, the first step is believing that, you know, accepting it. Like, okay, wow, this happened. How am I going to get through it? You know, perfect example, like when my son got killed in a car accident, that was the worst thing ever for me. It was disbelief. But I had to come to reality. Wow, my son is gone. Now, how do I get past this? How do I start my healing process and then start going from there?
All right. Pastor Kale, you know, as much as we have problems in so many other areas of our lives, there are people who just can't even get started. You know, just can't even get out the gate. How do you overcome that obstacle?
Well, you know, the Bible always talks about write the vision and make it plain. You know, you have to make it plain, and then you can't pile up. A lot of times we want to do so many things at one time. And then it bombards us and it confuses us on where to start at. And then sometimes, you know, the things we really want to do, we're excited about it in the beginning. But then we start thinking about all the things that could go wrong. So then we don't step up to the plate and try it. You know, we're excited about being this. We're excited about going back to school. But what if I fail? What if they don't accept me? We start allowing the negative to come in and kind of quench the positive. You know, you got to stay positive in all that you think of, because that's the only way you're going to get to the next level. Yeah, things, there may be bumps in the road that comes ahead of you, but you can't concern yourself and get bombarded down by the bumps in the road. Let's just think, what happens if the freeway is clear, if there's no cars on the road, if you can just get there at a fast pace? That's how you have to think about it. You have to have your mind thought as a GPS, and like the GPS is going to give you the fastest route to where you need to go. So just get in the car and drive.
All right, all right, all right. All right, Brother Al. We're talking about getting past and overcoming the obstacle of lack of support. I don't have the support. We know that now. How do you overcome that obstacle?
Okay, sorry about that. I had to get to a quieter place. Say that part again. I'm so sorry. I had to get to a quieter place.
You know, we have obstacles when we have lack of support. You know, there's something that we
right.
have to do, and we need the support system, but we don't have it. How do you overcome that obstacle?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one there. I think more so, like I said, we have to... You have to find somebody you trust, somebody that I trust. Okay, I trust this person. Let me talk to them. Seek help, you know, seek counseling, and excuse me, seek counseling. Somebody to help you with it. If you feel, hey, I can't do this by myself, you know, you need to seek some help.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, we have something that we have to do. And make no mistake about it, we can't do it by ourselves necessarily. But how do you overcome the obstacle of lack of support?
Well, you have to understand that it says that man will fail you all the time, which means that sometimes man won't even support you, even in the greatest ideas. And you can't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, because sometimes your left hand will steal your thoughts. So you have to be okay with being by yourself. You know, but with God, I can do all things that strengthen me. You know, as long as you have God on your side, and as long as he's ordering your steps to do the thing that you want to get done, then you have all the support that you need. You know, a lot of times we look for validation from man, you know, we and they have no expertise in what we're trying to do. We look for ideas and we look for exceptions from man, and they can't even comprehend what you're trying to do. So they'll say, well, girl, if it was me, I wouldn't do this. It's going to cost too much money. If it was me, I wouldn't do this because it's going to cost too much time. You know you got kids. When are you going to see your kids? And that, again, quenches what you want to do. So stop looking for the validation and stop worrying about who's going to support you. You know, as long as God sanctions what you're doing, that's all you need.
All right. Come on, Brother Al. How do you overcome the obstacle of frustration? I got stuff to do, but I'm just frustrated. How do you get past that?
Praying. You know, you got to take that deep breath and calm yourself down and pray. You know, you got to pray, hey, Lord God, I need you right now. If I ain't need you before, I need you right now. I need you to guide me. I need you to calm me. I need you to show me the way to go. So you definitely got to calm yourself. Got to calm yourself, take that deep breath, and pray.
All right. Pastor KL, how do we get past the obstacle of frustration?
Understanding that you are not the only person that has gone through what you're going through. You know, and if God had delivered them or brought them out of where they was, he can do the same for you. David had to encourage himself. Sometimes you have to find yourself in that secret place of the Most High where you can just encourage yourself, you know, and we have to motivate ourselves. We have to praise our way out of a situation. We have to pray our way out of a situation. We can't stay in that situation because that's what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy wants to control our mind and frustrate us to believe that we made a bad decision on this whole thing in the first place. So now we quit the journey. We stop mid-flight. And sometimes you're on the brink of a miracle if you just keep going.
All right. Brother Al, how do we overcome the obstacle of consistently having the wrong relationship? How do we get past that?
Learning from your mistakes. You know, if you see that, hey, I keep picking the wrong person, I got to reevaluate myself. What am I doing wrong? What attracted me to this bad relationship? It's just like if you keep digging in a bad batch of apples, you keep pulling out a sour apple, you're going to stop and think for a minute. Okay, you know what? Maybe this whole thing is sour. I got to go elsewhere. So you need to reevaluate yourself. Find yourself first. Okay, why am I picking these bad relationships? What is it that I like about this? What am I keep doing? Do I fall in love so fast that I see her? Do I fall because every pretty woman that come my way and not finding out what she's about? So you have to evaluate yourself first and then move from there.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, how do you bypass the obstacle of wrong relationships?
The steps of a good man is ordered by God. Allow God to order your steps. Allow God, you know, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You know, but God has to sanction it. You know, a lot of times we think that the outer appearance is the good thing. But, you know, so they look sweet on the outside but sour on the inside. You know, and they're not goal-driven. You know, so sometimes just listen to what a person say. And then, you know, like I always say, listen to what they don't say. Because sometimes their reactions, you know, will confirm in your spirit whether they're for you or not, whether they're in agreement or in alignment to what you want to do, to what your spirit man wants to do. You know, so a lot of times it's the spoken words and it's the unspoken words. But you yourself have to be keen to what you hear. You know, sometimes we hear what we want to hear because we want to be there. You know, but sometimes, you know, you got to really hear what that person is saying. Not only that, you got to really hear what God is saying. You know, just because they're attractive don't mean that their attraction is for you. So we just got to be keen on what the Spirit is saying to us.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Oh, we're going to distractions. Oh, big one as well. Brother, how do you overcome distractions in your life?
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of them out there. Again, trying your best to be focused. Focus on your goal and what you're trying to do and have it in your mind. Hey, you know what? This is where my focus is. I'm not going to let anything distract me from taking care of what I got to do. You know, it reminds me back when God blessed me to get back to college to graduate this May past. And I had to put a focus on it. I ain't been to school in 30 years. So, you know, I forgot all that stuff. But I set a goal, and my goal was to get all A's, and I wasn't going to let nothing distract me. And there was a few things came up, and I forgot how to write papers. And I was like, but you know what? I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to keep focused, and I'm going to keep pushing forward. So you got to focus and set that goal and let nothing stop you from reaching that goal.
All righty. Pastor KL, the obstacle of distraction. How do we move past that? How do we overcome that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that's going to come your way. You know, even in the perfect planning, there's going to be a distraction. You know, but you gotta keep your mind to the grind, you know, and keep on going. You know, the Bible says, I shall let nothing separate me from the love of God. You know, so again, when you have God in your life, God is going to continue to order your steps. If you go a different way, then you are being separated from God. So don't get distracted. Listen, God is the only one that can get you where you need to go. So knowing that, if you know he has the whole world in his hands and he has all keys and all powers, then don't let anything distract you or separate you from God. And if you're not separated from God, then you can't be distracted from the plan.
All right. We got failure. The obstacle of failure, Brother Al, the biggest one here, how do you get past that obstacle?
Yeah, you know, some people don't handle failure well. And get back up and try it again. You know, we sometimes, especially when we set goals and we are trying to reach those goals and we got high hopes for it, and we know the enemy don't want us to prosper at all. So the enemy is sitting there lurking, just waiting for that little crack to step his little foot in there and make things go wrong. So you got to look at it as, okay, I failed on this one. Now let me learn from, what did I do wrong to fail? Okay, I got it now. All right, let's try this again and let me go a different route. And keep your head up. Don't let it, okay, I failed. Oh, man, I'm just no good at nothing. No. Hey, you know what? I failed on this one. what did I do wrong to fail? Oh, I went left when I should have made that right. So you know what? Let's try it again. And this time, I'm going to make that right.
All right. Pastor KL, the obstacle of failure. How do we recover and get back out there and overcome that obstacle?
Well, first by understanding the difference between a stumbling block and failing. You know, a lot of people constitute failing because there's a stumbling block, because they didn't expect this to happen. That was just a stumbling block. Does that mean that you failed? Does it mean that you abort the mission? You know, a man will fall 7 times, and he'll get back. We fall down, but we get up. You know, it's not how you fall, but it's how you get back up. It's what you do when you get back up. You know, we can fall, and some folks try to break their fall. Some folks just fall straight down. But it's how you get back up after you fell. Do you get back on the bike, or do you decide that bikes is just no longer for me? You know, if you fall, just get back up. Dust it. The Bible says dust yourself off. You know, you just got to brush yourself off. It's okay. If the milk spilled, then just wipe it up and get another glass, baby. But it's going to be all right.
All right. Gentlemen, we have covered the obstacle of getting started, lack of support, frustration, wrong relationships, distractions, and failure. In your closing, Brother Al, what was your biggest obstacle out of those in your life, and how did you move forward?
Okay, so let's see there. I had quite a few obstacles, but I'm going to say my biggest obstacle was when my mother passed away. You know, when my mother passed away, I'm just sitting there, and I was just in disbelief, like, man, that's my mother, and she's no longer here to help me or give me advice. And I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. I was angry at everybody. And at that time, I was in college. And I just didn't care no more. I said, you know what? I don't even care no more. I started failing all my class. I wasn't going. And, you know, and a young lady at the school told me to pray. And I wasn't even moving towards God at that time. And she told me, pray. Just pray. And I was like, pray for what? And she's like, just pray. And I did. And, you know, I didn't know how to pray. I just talked to God. Hey, God, you know, help me. Help me get past this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Guide me on what to do, you know, and I left it at that. And then next thing I know, I started seeing what to do. Hey, you know, I could see my mother saying, boy, you better get your behind up and get to class. You know I ain't raised you like that. What's wrong with you? Get yourself together. I'm in a good place. Don't worry about it. You need to try to get here. You know what I'm saying? And I saw that, and I started getting myself together, and I started praying a little more. You know, and getting myself together, and okay, now I got to set a goal. I done failed all these classes. I got to make these classes up. I got to get these classes on point. I got to, you know, groom myself. I wasn't cutting my hair. You know, I just went down, and I just said, you know what? I just sat there and looked and said, I got to do better. My mother would want me to do better. She'd be pissed off at me right now if she stood here looking how I'm looking and what I'm doing. So I prayed, and that helped me out so much to get past that obstacle, because I knew she's not coming back. That's it. She's gone. She's gone. She's not coming back. So what are you going to do? Be like this the rest of your life? No, you got to get up and then keep pushing.
Amen, Brother Al. Amen. Thank you so much for that encouragement during that time. You know, little did you know that you would be encouraging people today. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing such an intimate experience. Pastor KL, you know, we came past all these topics of, you know, getting started, the obstacle of lack of support, frustration, wrong relationships, distractions, and ultimately overcoming the obstacle of failure. You know, which one of these affected you the most, and you were able to just move forward by overcoming?
I think the biggest one for me was a lack of support. You know, all my life, you know, for lack of a better term, because I was a singer, You know, I used to have what's called, you know, fans, people who really looked up to me and encouraged me. And then when the Lord called me into the ministry, and I used to tell these same fans, these same people that I'm now going to preach, they thought I was crazy. Because a lot of them knew my past. They knew what I did, what I went through, and what I, you know. So now, how dare you tell me that you're a preacher? You mean we can't hang out no more? You mean we can't go out no more? We can't do this no more? We can't have booty calls together no more? You know, so that was frustrating for me because I knew I heard from God, you know. But at some point, because everybody was so against it, I started questioning whether God had called me to this thing. You know, and then, you know, I had to begin to close my ears to the outside and listen to what God was telling me, you know, because like we said, man will fail you all the time. They sometimes will promote more negative when you're doing it than positive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, you have to come up from among them and be ye separated. And sometimes in your failure is not your failure, but it's your separation. God is trying to separate you, and you don't feel comfortable in the separation. So you feel that you failed in some kind of level. That's why God is punishing you. But in all reality, he's not punishing you. He's trying to draw you apart so that you can see, hey, listen, you thought you was blessed on that side? Come on over here. I know it's uncomfortable, and I know it don't feel good, but I promise you it's going to be for your good if you just follow my lead. Sometimes you have to follow the leader, but you have to follow the right leader. We've been following folks for too long and been going down the wrong way for too long and wondering why God has left us. Listen, God was there all the time waiting patiently in line, waiting for you to get out of that, out of the other line. You've been following the wrong people, and God said, I'm here for you. I wish that all you prosper, even as your soul prospers and be in good health, but you've got to come to the winning team. You can't continue to stay on that team while you're losing all the time, but yet you're happy. Who's happy being a loser? God said, I've got it all for you. I've got it all for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have already told you. If you just come on this side, heaven belongs to you.
Amen.
Come on,
amen,
come
gentlemen.
On.
Thank you so much for sharing that intimate experience with us. And both of you have definitely helped us to see, you know, how do you get past these obstacles? Because life is full of them. But there's a way. And in his name is Jesus. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for sending us into a wonderful weekend with such good words of guidance from God. I pray you have a great weekend.
Likewise, you too, Bo.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Let me first read our benediction and do that first before we move forward. All righty. So we're going to just go back to the original. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6:22-26. Giving God thanks for our blessings today. And today we are blessed to share in an experience with someone. So we're going to say hello again to Brother Al. Brother Al, is there something you'd like to say?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely something I would like to say. For all y'all that here that don't know, it is our Sister Teresa's birthday. Happy birthday. And we're doing things a little bit different this year with the presentation. Like I always say, I can't sing, but I can rap. So this is a presentation from the crew to Teresa, and it goes a little something like this. Good morning, Teresa. The day has come. God has blessed you to see another one. Now here's a tribute from us to you. Happy birthday from the Due Time crew. Now we all know you work from behind the scenes. You're always pleasant and never mean. You're a loyal listener and give great support, and you never let a problem
You never have a problem of speaking your thoughts. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God said, "For I know the plans I have for you." So heed his words and keep your head up. And when Pastor Steph swings, don't forget to duck. So keep doing what you're doing, having faith, my dear. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So once again, happy birthday to you. We love you much from the Due Time crew. Oh, yeah. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Don't forget to duck. When Pastor Steph, swing, don't forget to duck.
Thank you so much, Brother Al. We so appreciate your presentation this morning. Nice art at the top of the year. And we give God thanks for you. Thank you so much. Have a blessed weekend.
How about you too? Happy birthday, Teresa.
Thank you. Well, Teresa, you know, we want to definitely say happy birthday to you. You know, God is great. He is wonderful. And he is definitely worthy to be praised for your life and how you have come into our lives. And definitely you've been a blessing. You know, again, you know, you're a part of the behind-the-scenes crew. And we could not do it without you. You know, your willingness, your thought, your suggestions, your, you know, tenacity to be pleasing to God. You know, I've seen you grow, and it has been a blessing to watch. You keep my hair looking good, so I want to say thank you and a shout out, you know, to Teresa, half of the team that keeps my hair done. And again, you know, it's been a pleasure. It's been quite a few years now, and you know, we pray that God continues to bless your life, continue to let him lead you in the way of the Lord. Don't let this world get to you and suck you up into anything it has to offer, because you know you have made the decision that Jesus Christ is the way. Happy birthday! Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. Thank you again, Brother Al. You know, wanted to do something a little different. You know, last year, Pastor KL and our Lady Tamika did a fantastic job with blessing us to, you know, give the tribute that they did. And, you know, wanted to do something different this year, and hoping that, you know, you all feel loved, you feel blessed, and you ultimately know your love. Okay? Happy birthday. You know, we're talking about today overcoming obstacles. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, as Christian people, we're really made to do. You know, people say, oh, I can't live. You know, I want to live, so I can't give my life to God. You know, I don't want to have to stop doing, because all they seem to hear is don't, no, no, stop, can't, you know, don't do, can't do, you know, and you don't even understand what a blessing it is to actually step, as we always say, on this side of the fence. You know, once you cross over, there is nothing you can't go through and be on the other side with a smile on your face. You know, there's nothing you can't overcome because you've got God in your pocket. See, this journey ain't you by yourself anymore. So before we God on this journey by ourselves, I don't care who you have to help you. I don't care who steps in. I don't care how much money they give you or how much support. Technically, you're by yourself. But once you cross over, that obstacle of getting started is nothing. nothing, because you're always going to see why. Why? Because God is ordering your steps. So it's different than when you're starting off the journey without God. See, if you ask God to order your steps and you trust that he's ordering your steps, then getting started is not going to be an issue, because you know that you're going to be walking in God's way. You know that anything you do, as Pastor KL said, is going to be sanctioned by God. So you're not going to have to worry about getting started. You know how many people I know I've seen, oh, they got wonderful ideas, but they can't get out the gate. You ask them a year later, so what happened with so-and-so? Oh, you know, I was wondering about this, and I was wondering about that, and, you know, I thought about this. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with coming out the gate. Coming out the gate with something is better than still standing behind the gate doing nothing. You got to make sure you do not have an obstruction in front of you called lack of support. Again, we're going with the concept that God is ordering your steps. If God is ordering your steps, he's already put the support out there. What part of your journey you're going to have to go through by yourself? So you might have to start off by yourself, and you'll pick people up. You'll pick the support up as you go along. There's sometimes when you come up out the gate, you need the support. Well, maybe you are not finding the support. Maybe you're lacking the support because you're not where God wants you to be. You're doing what God wants you to do, but you're not where God wants you to be, so you're not going to get that lack of support. And that's why you're going to have to overcome the obstacle of frustration, because it's very, let me tell you something. I have been an event planner for over 30 years, fundraising consultant, the whole nine yards. And it is extremely frustrating because you're dealing with a lot of different elements when you're doing anything. It comes with a lot of different elements. And the enemy wants to frustrate you because he's hoping you give up. But because you're not walking by yourself, because you're doing what the Lord does, he just hands your frustration over to him. He says, come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's your frustration right there. Make sure you hand it over to the Lord. There's no reason why you need to be frustrated. All the wrong relationships. How do you go through that and come out on the other side smiling? Well, relationships are not the only ones that we find ourselves in that are wrong. Sometimes you just partnered up with the wrong people for the right reasons. You have a wonderful business venture. God has told you to do X, Y, and Z. And instead of you doing it the way God tells you to do it, instead of you picking up that support system that you need, you go and develop the wrong relationship. Well, going back to the drawing board and asking God, who should I be with? Who should I leave? You can't take everybody with you. Take everybody with you. That's how we overcome the obstacle of wrong relationships. Go back and ask God. Distractions, the biggest thing that we can really face. Stay focused, as the gentleman said. Keep your eye on the prize. If you're moving because God told you to move, then if you keep your eye and ear on the fact that God does everything in decency and in order, you won't be distracted. Because disorder is nothing that God has in his pocket. It's nothing that God has for you. So you got to keep your eye on Jesus and God. You'll never have to worry about being distracted. Failure. Well, I got to tell you, failure is something that we all will experience. If you think you're going to go through this life and you are not going to fail at anything, think again. Because we all had to do things before we got to Christ. We didn't wake up and give our lives to Christ. The reason why we had to go to God is because we were big fat failures. Because everything we tried to do was no longer working. Because everything that we set out to do, you know, just didn't go right. And the Bible says, of a man seems right in his own eyes, but God has the master plan. So we got to make sure that we follow God's plan, because there is no failure in God. So whatever happened before you got to the point where you're following God's plan, it may have failed. Oh, absolutely. Again, there's no failure in the Lord as long as we are doing what he has not only instructed us to do, but he has sanctioned for us to do. So therefore, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. You know, God is an exceptional God. And there is one road to success. And I close with it every day. Please give your life to the Lord, because in doing so, we will make sure that the things that we do have a good outcome. Now, I didn't say the journey was going to be easy, but we have to look at the end. What did God have for me at the end of all of this? We have tons of scripture that say, well, hey, when you get here, this is what needs to happen. How do you get past this? How do you overcome this obstacle? How do you move past this? How do you overcome this obstacle? There is nothing, nothing in this world that we can't do as long as we have God in front of us leading the way. Do not take your eye off the prize. The prize is called salvation, where we will be ushered in to God's kingdom. And that's what you want. Good and well, my faithful servant, and to enter my gates is what we want to hear. At least that's what I think we want to hear. You know, is that our goal? Is our goal to do whatever we want to do and just hope for the best? I hope I make it in. Or is the goal, I'm going to work and do what I need to do, and I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to be obedient? Because in order for us to make it into the kingdom, it's a complete package. And we can't work ourselves into the kingdom, because then we'd be working. But God says, no, it's a gift. And it's his assessment on your life. And only he can dictate whether you make it in or not. So we have to overcome all these obstacles. Because if not, we won't make it in. And the only way we're going to overcome the obstacle is with Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he gave up his life. That's why there was a sacrifice made. That's why he was offered up as the lamb that was slain for yours and my life. So come on, come on, come on, come on in to the place where God is pleased and happy with your life. Don't worry about those obstacles, because there's nothing that you will go through that God will not help you conquer. I promise you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. Thank my Due Time crew, the men of the hour. They did a fantastic job sending us off into a wonderful snowy weekend here in New York. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week and being a part of our world. Thank you so much. Remember, Sunday night, God Spares Our Lives, the Word Prayer Project. We don't know what the theme is, so stay tuned. Happy birthday, Teresa. Until the next time we speak, God spares, I love you.